Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I want to talk to you guys about our great partner at BetOnline.ag. Yes, the place that lets you bet on pro wrestling. We've gotten our pro wrestling betting odds from them for years, well before we even worked with them. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about them. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payout, the industry best bonuses. They've been trusted for 25 plus years because of their safe and secure environment and their quick payouts. But you can bet on pro wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know more than anybody, go ahead and look at those odds. The same ones you've seen on Fightful for years. You might see one that sticks out to you and you go, wait a second. There's no way that person's going to win. Why are they an underdog? Make yourself some money. BetOnline.ag. And hey, it doesn't stop there. Whatever sports you want, they got you covered. Popular games like blackjack and roulette, Supernova, Skyward, all that stuff. BetOnline.ag. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can at BetOnline.ag. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's April 30th, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp. It's time to review AEW Dynamite. While you're here, leave a thumbs up, drop a fruit emoji, get in your super chats and humper chats. You might say, what the hell are those? That's how you get your questions or statements in. Myself, John Alba, had a show earlier today where we answered a whole bunch of them, but we want to hear from you guys. We want to talk about what you guys want to talk about. As I always am doing over at FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business, exclusive news that quite frankly supplements every other wrestling website, Twitter, and Facebook on the planet. And we have Q&As nonstop. We have all kinds of news. We had news about a highly touted free agent en route to AEW, a name backstage at AEW today, as well as details surrounding the lack of details around All In's main event, but also several shows a week from this gentleman to the side of me here, Alex Pawlowski. Alex, how are you?
I am very good. I was white knuckling my way through the second half of that match.
Wow.
Because I was so sure MJF was going to come out and cost Hangman as a response to what Bobby Lashley said to him. And I was like, I'm so close to getting my Ospreay versus Hangman match. Don't ruin it. I need it. And what a main event. My, those guys beat the crap out of each other. Wow. Like AEW is on a heater right now. I want them to continue it into the very distant future, continuing all the time. But this is great stuff.
Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover says, if AEW can figure out ROH, this company is soaring. Well, it seems like their mentality is just put it on AEW TV, which I don't quite agree with. But we also had one from our good friend Vicky that says, how will they maintain the build to Double or Nothing with so much time? I don't think it's going to be that difficult as we look at it. Like, let's see, AEW Double or Nothing 2025 is when? Let me see. My God. May 25th. So you have a few Dynamites between now and then. You've got... Yeah.
So, for example... You got
three.
For example, Toni Storm wins her match and is confronted by Mercedes. And then Jamie Hayter comes out, and then Mercedes runs away, and then Jamie and Tony have a little stare down. Building intrigue for which one of these two women will win her match and face Toni Storm at All In. And my thought is you could absolutely run that exact segment on the Go Home show. And I don't know what else you do for that particular program between now and then. How stale does stuff like that feel by, let's say, the second week of May? You know what I mean? Like, what are the other things we're doing? Are there going to be like, you know, tag matches? It's Mercedes and Harley versus Jamie Hayter and pick a partner.
Yeah.
You know, are those things we're going to be doing? So we'll see. We'll see. I have high hopes, but they might be walking a little bit of a tightrope back for a while.
Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. I am modding tonight, so please bear with me. And as you can tell, I'm a little bit under the weather right now, but hopefully by next week I will be good to go. But my God, guys, what a show this was. What a wild show this was. And very excited to talk with you all about it. We've got James Zimmerman saying, since WrestleMania, AEW has been the best wrestling company in the world. Each show has been humper after humper. They're making stars like Speedball. And Kevin Knight, a guy that honestly I wasn't sure where he would go after his initial push. And as it turns out, they have been very good about keeping him like involved in very important things, including this opening tag team match that was just unreal. Unreal athletic, unreal good wrestling, a lot of fun entertainment spots like the elbow drop missing over and over again. Matt Jackson breaking Ricochet's arm over the ropes repeatedly until he felt the bald head. There was a lot of fun here. This was like when AEW does these like all-star tags and they go just balls to the wall, it's so much fun. And quite frankly, these are a lot of guys that it feels like we don't get to watch on Dynamite that much, along with the guys that quite frankly anchored Dynamite in the ring. This was an incredible, incredible opening match, Alex.
If this is your type of match, I can imagine this was awesome. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and sure. For me, like giant 8-man all-star tags can have fun spots in them, but a lot of this was a very PWG 8-man all-star tag. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which certainly has a place here. If starting and including entrances all the way to the end, that a quarter of the entire show was taken up by this. And
it was really, really fun.
It was really, really fun. And I think that it didn't need to be 30 minutes. It could have been 20, 22, and you could have been sneaking another women's match on there to build something else or whatever. But it was a lot of fun. I will absolutely give it credit for that. I love Kevin Knight. I love Speedball. I love them together. I think they're really great. Ricochet basically is the third Young Buck. Like who knew that? Like Ricochet basically would fit in so well with that, to the point where if they actually like fill out the ranks of the Elite a little bit, like actually Ricochet joining the Young Bucks and Okada at some point would not be out of place. Considering,
I wouldn't mind it at all.
It would be really, really good. This was a lot of fun. Kenny Omega and Okada getting to work against each other in an AEW ring. Really, really fun. As these things go, it was excellent. These types of matches have never been my favorite thing. In the SGS Discord, they were like, better this than 30 minutes of Cena and Orton yelling at each other. And I was like, I don't think it's fair to compare the two. This isn't my favorite dish. The other thing to me is like poison. So like, this was absolutely fine. And for people who love this, this must have been absolutely one of their favorite matches of the year.
But could 100 AEWs defeat one pro wrestling gorilla?
Oh, that's interesting. You know, is the gorilla armed? Can we get the gorilla a crowbar or maybe like a suit of armor?
I mean, listen, they've got the phantom grenades. They got the thumb up the ass. The pro wrestling gorillas have an awful lot.
Yeah, yeah.
They got a lot here. Jambeard says, the net wants to know, can 100 current day SRSs take a gorilla monsoon at his peak if he were alive? Yeah. Listen. I'm sorry, man. You give me three SRSs, and I feel pretty confident in that.
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident in that ability. I mean, listen. Low single on one, rear naked choke on the other, and the other one's just punching right in the wiener. Like, repeated wiener punch. James Zimmerman says, let the con man cook, that crazy bastard. And Robert Anderson brings up your point. Will we ever get AEW Ladies Night? License the song, 2-hour special episode. AEW has the talent and storylines. Is TK afraid fans won't watch? I mean, listen, the women have been put in that main event slot, which I think it is a, here you go, prove it type of thing, where it is usually the lowest rated segment on the show. And he's like, okay, not in the 9:30 slot. You all will be in the main event slot. You can sink, swim, or maybe it'll perform exactly the same. Yeah. And I think that it's more likely now than it has ever been.
Yeah. I think that certainly if you had the right two women in the right feud, you could absolutely do a 1 hour women's Broadway Iron Woman match. You know what I mean? Like you could take up half the show or three or two, like a third of the show with just one women's amazing title match, especially on one of these named things like they're doing Beach Break or whatever. Like you could absolutely build to a major women's main event that like you plan on it taking up a full 40 minutes to an hour. And I think if it was the right two women who had the right kind of star power, they would absolutely nail it.
The hair ricochet spot to me was hilarious. Even popped the crowd. He's really good at playing the crowd. Love Brandon Knight as well. Or you mean Kevin Knight as well. Mm-hmm. Yes, Kevin Knight is incredible. I saw somebody say that he wrestles like Peter Parker would wrestle. I was like, yeah.
True.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, Ricochet, how many times in WWE did we hear, oh, well, he doesn't have the charisma. He doesn't have the promo skills. He doesn't have, well, as it turns out, you script people to not be absolute dorks, they can do incredible things. And that's what he does every single week. Like I remember when he first came over, I was like, okay, physically what he does not stand out as much in AEW from like a moves standpoint. And I was excited to see his feats of strength. And I wanted to see how he responded from a character standpoint, and he is doing the best character work of his life, and it's not even close.
Yeah, yep.
James Zimmerman says, since Mania, AEW's been the best wrestling company. It's been very good. It's been very, very good. Zach Schimmel says, am I the only one who thinks AEW's getting close to having good balance across all divisions? Just please free the world title. How you feel about this one, Alex?
I think that they're doing excellent work with the women whenever they get a chance to shine, which is more often now. I think like it's one of those deals where the very best, it's they're doing such great work and it could be better. You could absolutely just make it a rule. Two women's matches every Dynamite. You figure it out. If one of them's a squash, that counts. Figure out a way to get the women on screen more often, and then you actually have a chance to really bring those divisions up. Now, I would argue that the men's tag division is maybe stuck a little bit in whatever the Hurt Syndicate is doing with MJF, but that might be moving to something else now, finally. But over on Collision, the tag main event on Collision was outstanding. O'Reilly Strong versus FTR was amazing. So they're doing great tag matches. They're just not anywhere near the tag titles.
Sure.
So they have enough here, and I'm really intrigued by the ops, but right now we have a Samoa Joe thing going on with the main title. Like, if they actually siloed off all of these things and gave them each equal time, then I think they absolutely have the roster, the horses, to make all of that equal. But every time any of this gets a chance in the spotlight, it shines. So that's how you know you've actually really well portioned out your roster.
The Elite get the win as Okada does the Rainmaker on Mark Briscoe, by the way. But we got a super chat, rather. Jambeard says, if Bayley ever leaves WWE and goes to AEW, TK better run back her debut versus Monet in Brooklyn as a surprise opponent for Monet, and they go 30 minutes. I feel like that would one that would pop a pay-per-view buy rate, my friend. I don't think that would be a surprise.
Yeah.
Unless it's one of those, she's got a mystery opponent.
Like one of those things where they heavily implied Punk was going to be at that first Rampage without saying it. Like, you got to do at least that for the first Bayley and Monet match.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I mean, even by then it was kind of out there into the world. We had the Hurt Syndicate backstage. They run into some gentlemen who chant their catchphrase. And then they kick the shit out of them.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Later on, they see MJF, and Bobby Lashley really draws out the thumbs down. Mm. Everybody else gives a thumbs up. This was the first time at this point where I was like, all right, guys, let's get to it. Then they completely changed my mind. Then they completely reversed course on me. Because MJF is starting to get a little aggressive. Sure. He hates rejection. And he, you know, calls Bobby Lashley, you know, a bald bitch, among other things. And then Bobby Lashley quickly reminds MJF who Bobby Lashley is. Mm-hmm. And gets in his face, and he's like, we hurt people. If you want to impress me, go hurt people. Which is, it's like what Bobby Lashley was saying in that moment is, I didn't want to have to tell you. I wanted you to just know. Right. It's like,
that's true.
Your wife shouldn't have to tell you to buy her flowers.
Right, just do it. Yeah, that's true.
That's what Bobby Lashley is saying.
But it is. That's honestly, this is what I wanted, because of course MJF, the dude who talks about pores and whatever, thinks that I can just buy my way into anything. I can just flash a little cash and get whatever I want. But as Bobby Lashley says, man, I can buy my own car. That's what he said today to MVP. He's like, I know. You got two of those exact cars at home. I know. But that's not what this is about. And I like that Bobby Lashley acknowledged that material things are not going to sway him.
Yeah.
And MJF just keeps thinking that's what it's going to be. So telling him, no, if you want to get in, you better fit in. We will not have anybody in the Hurt Syndicate who does not hurt people. You can't just like figure out, like, you can't, you know, sneak around and like, okay, well, I'm going to do a little dick kick and then put a ring on my finger. I want to see what you actually can do. And so because we got that interaction kind of out of the blue, but for the first time in a month or 6 weeks between Hangman and MJF, it felt like they were trying to remind us that these two guys don't like each other. We got that interaction last week. And when Bobby Lashley says to MJF, hurt somebody, my immediate thought was, well, who is the guy that MJF is most likely to think of when he thinks of who do I want to hurt to impress Bobby Lashley? And that person just so happens to have a must-win match at the end of the night. And he also tweeted out, read you loud and clear, Bob.
Yeah.
MJF did. So that, to me, scared the crap out of me because I so badly need
and
to
it's,
see.
And it added, I felt like it added some intrigue as well 100%. To that incredible main event.
For sure.
But I really like this because the moment that I was about to be like, all right, getting old, it completely changed my mind. I really loved the approach that they went. And again, Bobby Lashley telling him the thing that it's almost like he's been disappointed that he had to tell MJF.
Yeah.
And MJF recognizes that as well. And he's like, all right, we'll get it done. Who do you think it is that MJF goes after?
I don't know. If it wasn't Hangman now, then I don't know. Like yeah. it feels like if we wait until Hangman has his match versus Will Ospreay and MJF costs him then MJF will have many, many weeks to talk to Bobby Lashley about why he hasn't done the thing he told him to yet. So it feels like it's got to be next week. And I don't know. It's got to be somebody that will upset us because it has to cement the heelness of MJF. So I'm trying to figure out that exact right baby face, the guy that MJF can take out in a really vicious way. Cause I mean, that's what the Hurt Business, Hurt Syndicate is. So he's got to be something interesting.
C. Delgado says, does MJF help FTR Stoke take the belts from Syndicate? No, I think he joins the Syndicate. I really do think he joins the Hurt Syndicate. We did see a vignette of Stokely saying last year, I was looking for a tag team and I found one. Mm-hmm. FightfulSelect.com reported last week that this had been pitched and planned last year, but when the Outrunners got hot, AEW went with FTR doing a program with them.
Yeah.
Update on the VIP party deck. Now, I keep asking. I promise. How long till Cedric comes in? I am impatient. I have not heard. I mean, obviously, it's something where They want him in there. They want him. Mm-hmm. Hurt Syndicate want him there.
Right.
He's not, I don't think he's eligible for like until the next week or so, like about a week like from now.
Yeah. I don't know if he's eligible for next week's Dynamite, but something I had seen somebody say was they do a thing with three thumbs up in the middle of the ring, and MJF's like, "All right, now we're talking." Oh no, that wasn't for you.
Yeah,
that's for this guy. And here out comes Cedric. I mean, that would be kind of a thing. Like, this is the dude we're all three of us welcoming into the biz. I don't know, but it might be interesting to see how that works.
But what if MJF like fucks him up?
I mean,
and that's the guy. I mean,
that would certainly not impress Bobby Lashley. So like that would be a way to make sure that he doesn't join the Hurt Syndicate, maybe. I would think. But
maybe, yeah. Or maybe he would be impressed. damn. Oh man. We had the Ops defeating Miles Hawkins, who has appeared about 6-7 times on AEW, but a couple names that are known a little bit more. Nick Comoroto. Yeah. Tom LaValle is happy to see him back, and Beardy again. And Rhett Titus, former ROH TV champion and tag champion. Yeah. This is the Ops winning fairly quickly. I'm glad to see Comoroto back. I did a great feature on him last year. I had a lot of people saying, oh, thought he got fired. Listen, here's the reality of that situation. That somebody jumped the gun reporting that. Mm-hmm. Somebody took a rumor that contracts weren't going to get renewed or that contracts were going to be allowed to be expired, and the talent had not been told that. I think that's lame as hell. That is so lame to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like if you, it's just weird. It's very weird. And then here you go. You got Nick Comoroto popping back up.
Yep.
I'm glad to see him. It always is. It adds more when there's a big son of a bitch, big sirloin beef son of a bitch taking some offense. And then a former ROH TV champion like Rhett Titus, but this was a showcase for the Ops.
Sure. Yeah, this was fun. Again, love seeing Comoroto back. He got a really cool look, bearded or not bearded. I used to call him Unfrozen Caveman Wrestler a couple of years ago. He's not quite that beardy just yet, but he could be in a couple of weeks because he's a very hirsute man. He can grow a lot of hair very quickly. This was fun. I really enjoyed seeing what this was. Like Hobbs getting the victory. And then we get a little bit more intrigue for the Death Riders feud.
They came out, they attacked Samoa Joe, not just challenged John Moxley, but to a cage match, which got approved. I am not too excited for the anarchy in the arena, whatever that may be, but it's going to happen. And it always ends up being fun. I just feel like the Death Riders angle, just, again, hasn't taken off the way that I want. While I love the performers.
Right.
And it's funny, Alex, because I had always heard that John Moxley saw it as like AEW's bloodline. Meanwhile, I look at WWE Raw and I see Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker and Paul Heyman saying they want to remake the image of WWE for the future. And I'm like, well, those are the Seth Riders right there.
Yeah, the Seth Riders, yes.
That's what that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely some influence between the three Shield members upon one another, it feels like.
For sure. Shibata got taken out with the same gut buster onto an overturned chair that they took out Hook with. At least in kayfabe. I don't know if that means that like Shibata will be out of action for a bit. In kayfabe, like they won't be able to defend the trios titles for a bit. But I like that they basically
That be convenient?
Yeah, dividing and conquering. The way that Taz talked about Hook, it seemed like he's day to day. He's making progress. He should be back soon. So if they took out Shibata and then demanded a trios title rematch, but now it's Hobbs. What are you going to do? It's just Joe and Hobbs. You don't even have a third guy. And then Hobbs comes back in, and it turns out, yes, we're going to freebird these trios titles, kind of a thing. I don't know, but like that seemed like something they might try. Whatever. I really enjoyed Joe being like, you said you wanted me one-on-one, but then you keep running away. So how about this? How about we do it one-on-one in a place where you can't run away? Let's do it in a cage match. And yeah, sure. Add a stipulation to this match. We all know Jon Moxley is going to win. And the anarchy in the arena doing it here, I think, is actually a good thing, because it would insult our intelligence to have Jon Moxley defend the title against anybody at Double or Nothing, when we all know he's not losing it until All In. So, like, doing a big, huge, schmozzy, fun street fight, falls count anywhere type of thing involving the world title is a thing that you do to keep that guy busy while we settle who is going to face him at All In 6 weeks after Double or Nothing. And then we can actually do that. So the world title match for this pay-per-view cycle is actually happening, not on a pay-per-view. It's happening at Beach Break in 2 weeks in a steel cage on the lovely beaches of Chicago, Illinois.
Jan Beard says, man, I was hoping for a Joe versus Utes match for next week so we can all witness a funeral for Utes. I think that is whenever Bryan Danielson comes back.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what I think that is.
Yeah.
Thank you to AEW Women's Division blog for joining this. Occasionally I put up videos early. I believe you can go visit them at AEW.one. They have been Fightful Award sponsors as well. Just do a Women's Anarchy in the Arena instead. Listen, if there was a year that Anarchy in the Arena actually made sense without being forced, this is one of the years, like, yeah, for sure. So I never want that to be a forced thing.
No.
You mean that wasn't the Geico Neanderthal?
No.
He did post. He goes, is this the one gorilla that people have been talking about? Which is very funny. Jordan says, would love if Ricochet joined the Elite and as a bonus have Samantha be their manager and ring announcer, Heyman style. I think whenever available, whenever eligible, because I don't technically know Samantha's contract status, because there's a good chance that, like, her time is just ticking down, because I believe there was still some time left in some capacity.
Okay. All right.
There. But, and I mean, it's easy to forget that's just 6 months ago. Like, it's only been 6 months, but I would be shocked if she wasn't involved in wrestling in some capacity.
Sure.
Especially now, even though Ricochet has said, oh, she ain't going to AEW. That man is a troll.
He is
such a troll. Jan Beard says, part of me wants it to be a lovable babyface like Mark Briscoe that MJF takes out. They can have a match at Double or Nothing. How do you feel about that one? I mean, I feel like MJF abusing Mark Briscoe is a dynamite angle.
Right. I would assume the way it says hurt people, like, if you don't put a guy on the shelf with your backstage attack, that doesn't count. The way that Bobby Lashley would expect you to hurt somebody, don't, like, ding him up and then 2 weeks later you get a match with him at the pay-per-view. You better put him down hard, which is why I was thinking of, like, who's a guy who's due for some time off. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you can actually really kayfabe Kevin Knight getting sent to Battle of the Super Juniors, because we're going to see footage of him wrestling, so he's not actually hurt. But, like, somebody like that, somebody lovable who can, like, take 2 months, 6 weeks, 2 months away from, you know, the TV, somebody like that.
Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah. I mean, that's really good.
And then whenever it is that he's ready, they can have their little one-off match and tie up whatever it is that they had.
Sure.
And you can say, He can come back, he can cut his promo. He can say, Karen warned him against this. Karen told him, take a step back, didn't like who you were becoming, but he's got to be a man and fight MJF. And then they do their one match, and that's it. And there you go. And that wraps up an angle that we spent too much time on.
Sure.
Oh, man, we got... By the way, get in your super chats, humper chats, guys. Mercedes and Renee have a sit-down. This is very quick to the point. This is... Like, I'm surprised they did this on the same show, since they had Mercedes there later in the night.
Right.
But it was fine. But we had Toni Storm defeating Miyu Yamashita. I've had a wonderful opportunity to see Miyu Yamashita wrestle a lot, because she is working like a heavy, heavy like indie schedule here in the United States. Like, she's been over here just working like Black Label Pro and Squared Circle Expo and stuff like that. And, you know, she's been back and forth in Japan and stuff like that, but she wrestled Natty at Bloodsport, had a great performance. She went overseas and did a tour over there last month. This woman has maintained like a wild ass schedule. She did MLW last year as well. She did Deadlock. Like, she has really been smart at Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling. She's working like the biggest indies as well. And she's fantastic. Now, I've had a lot of people ask, well, is WWE interested in her? I haven't heard of that. Like, not like Tekla, where FightfulSelect.com reported she's expected to go to AEW, but WWE had their eye on her. I haven't heard that about Yamashita, but that being said, she's, like, for the last number of years, put on some incredible matches. Yeah. Like if you guys haven't ever checked out her work, it's well worth it. And this match was a great example of her versatility. Yeah. It was a great example that she could work.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The American style and the entertainment style, like Tony's ass hanging out there and her kicking it repeatedly, stuff sure. like that. Like, she can do that. No problem.
Yeah. This was very, very good between her and Tony. Tony is, again, just the best character in all of wrestling. And Miyu really impressed me. Not that I had any doubts. I've seen her work before, but this was excellent. I almost thought they would do like the surprise, like victory somehow, like maybe have Mercedes at ringside or something to screw with Tony, and Tony takes the loss, and then she would win in the, you know, because this was an eliminator match, and then sure. she would win when they actually give her the title match. Because right now, we don't have a program for Tony for Double or Nothing. Which is fine. I'm fine with them using the next month to get that program, considering that we already know who the other women's match is going to feature on Double or Nothing. Take this time to figure out who Tony would face, because I'm assuming Tony faces somebody in some capacity. But I really like seeing the use of the Japanese talent when they come over here, because they're always featured in a really great way that showcases all of their talents.
I feel like it'd be too soon to have her like lose the eliminator after she got pinned by sure. Megan in that one.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah,
that's but it. After this, Mercedes and Jamie brawl. I love Mercedes like running away. Mm-hmm. That was very funny. I mean, man, you add Tekla, and listen, the stuff she's done over the last year hasn't been great, but from a presence she's made for American TV.
Right.
That is something that I look forward to happening. And man, Double or Nothing shaping up really well. Liking the way that's going. And Roderick says, if we do Anarchy in the Arena, will we get women's world title headlining Double or Nothing? I doubt it. I bet it'd be Anarchy in the Arena headlining as well. But the women's world title should.
Well, they don't have anything for Toni Storm right now.
Yeah.
So it really depends on what they do to build that women's world title. The fact that like they didn't have Toni headline with Mariah May after the last year and a half, and they have three weeks to really yeah. build a women's world title match that would headline a pay-per-view. I don't think Anarchy Arena should pretty much ever headline a pay-per-view. It's too much of a wacky, too many moving parts.
Yes.
Too many things that could go wrong that basically you kind of just end the show. I would expect it to be Ospreay versus Hangman, because you got like Hangman, who's the main character of AEW, and you got Ospreay yeah. for the shot at Moxley. Unless they figure out something very specific for Toni Storm to do. By the way, I want to give a shout out to Toni Storm. the dance to Jamie Hayter's music.
Yes.
Yes. No notes. 10 out of 10.
And I mean, John Moxley presumably confronting Ospreay or Hangman at the end of Double or Nothing.
Yeah, that's,
and
that's,
they face off in front of the All In Texas sign, because I mean, that is, it's like what, 6 weeks after? It's
6 weeks after Double or Nothing. Yeah.
So I mean, it's not like a crazy like amount of time or anything like that. Mm-mm. Not the ideal four or five, right. But I mean, that's also not enough. Like, you know, the 2.5 months from WrestleMania as well.
That's true. Yeah.
And even WrestleMania had the benefit of a little bit of a later Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
But to that same point, Mike's point, he says, or Jane Beard says, give me Yakuza Shida leading a stable of Mia and Tekla, please. And thank you. So I think the eventual Anarchy in the Arena Stadium Stampede should be the long rumored Shida Joshi stable. And that's listen, great. I know a lot of people say, oh, why would you put all the Joshi wrestlers together? That's who hangs out together. Hate to tell you all that. People that speak Japanese hang out together backstage. So, sorry that's to true. Inform you guys.
It's true.
That's the way. Now, again, not all of them.
No. Nope.
Because there's some beef here and there. There's some beef among some. But that Shida, Tekla, just because of her past. Mm-hmm. And if you want to include somebody like Megan Bain.
Yeah,
who has that history?
A hired gun would be really cool for like Mob Boss Shida. Ooh,
with a folded arm, Megan Bain standing there.
Sure.
And then you know what? Eventually, you could bring Camille back into the fold or something, and she can. Mm-hmm. I just thought, oh well.
Yeah.
Mike Lima says, "Would Cedric join AEW after the situation with Swole?" Yes, he said he would on the interview with Chris Van Vliet.
Yeah,
he said that he would. Thoughts on Mercedes versus Jamie? Athena cost Mercedes, then Athena versus Mercedes, Hayter versus Tony, both at All In. I wouldn't hate either one of those.
Right.
We
have time to build to something, but we haven't seen hide nor hair of Athena since she lost to Mercedes. They haven't mentioned her. They haven't brought her up. Billy Starks hasn't appeared on the show. It's like, so if they're going to do Athena costing Mercedes, you would think they would have her. We'd be able to see her really upset about how she lost to Mercedes and get that little nugget planted in there somewhere. I would prefer seeing that, because those two women's matches would be amazing, especially if you did a thing like, okay, so it's Hayter versus Tony for the women's world title, and it's Athena versus Mercedes for everything else with all the gold on the line. Like, make it into a major deal of these are the longest running champion in the history of ROH, male or female, and this woman who is the champion of everything all over the world. Put everything on the line here tonight, who is the best in the world. I mean, that would be an amazing secondary women's match on All In.
Megan Bain whooped pre-evolution Megan Bain. I don't understand the reference. I'm sorry. Jam Beard says, speaking of Maple Leaf Pro, I was glad to see here in Canada there were 3 or 4 commercials for their show, including one picture-in-picture. Oh, buddy, let me see that match they announced today. Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Like, listen, the last show, not as like stacked as their first one. Then they decided to come back with Michael Oku versus Speedball Mike Bailey versus Gabe Kidd on their show. Jesus Christ. That's filthy.
These two dudes ping-ponging all over the ring and waiting for one dude to just like forearm your night-night.
And call him a pussy. While they're in midair.
Yes, yes.
Insane.
Yeah.
Insane. Well, whether you're in Canada, whether you're in America, no matter where you are, you can use our friends at NordVPN. If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Truly one of the most versatile things you could have as a pro wrestling fan. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Love for Bruce says she beat up Anna Jay on Collision. Okay, that's the pre-evolution,
like
Megan.
Pokemon evolution. Like yes, that okay. Anna Jay evolves and becomes Megan.
I get it. Now I get the reference. I get it. Well played. We have the Patriarchy interview backstage, but they are interrupted by Jay Lethal, who challenges Nick Wayne. Nick Wayne's like, I'm just kind of getting through these tapings to go to the Best of the Super Juniors. Then Christian's like, No, he'll defend against you tonight. They end up having a match, and Nick Wayne picks up the win. It feels like a long time since we've seen Jay Lethal on Dynamite. And
yeah,
listen, there was a period where you couldn't go 2 weeks without seeing this man.
There was a point where that man was a fixture.
Yes, probably didn't need to be then, but we have not seen Jay Lethal wrestle on Dynamite since August.
Yeah,
that's insane. And last year he wrestled on Dynamite 3 times, as I see. So not been necessarily the model of consistency there, but here's
right.
Let me tell you my issue. The last match Jay Lethal had was a 5.5-minute ROH title proving ground loss to Bandido. Mm-hmm. He's not wrestled since then.
No.
And he's just rolling up being like, TV right. title. Now, what you can say is, well, he didn't earn it, and that's part of, you know, the side-eyeing of Christian anyway. Like, he probably shouldn't have had that title shot. But what were your feelings on this?
Though they did the angle on Collision where Jay Lethal blamed Sanjay Dutt for them not having matches, like the entirety of the Jeff Jarrett family turned on Sanjay Dutt on Collision, kind of out of nowhere. We haven't seen people in a long time. But Jay Lethal just coming up and saying, hey, you know, you're going to be a fighting champ, right? Because you're not just going to take that belt and run off to Japan for however long you're going to be over there. You should defend it before you leave. And he's Mr. ROH, you know, kind of shorthand for that in AEW booking occasionally, sometimes. So that all that made sense. But I have been asking for the big Nick Wayne face turn to like try and take out his dad, Christian Cage, for being disrespectful to him and everything. I've been asking for that for 6 months, but I didn't want it to happen. But like Nick Wayne to babyface himself by being like, well, gee, you know, I would, but you know, I'm just trying to, I got to pack. There's a lot of stuff you got to do before you go to Japan. I kind of want him to be like, well, man, when was the last time you won anything, Jay Lethal? No, you can't have a match. And Christian be like, how dare you? You respect your elders. You can give him that match, and you better win, because if you don't, you'll have to answer to me. So let Nick Wayne kind of be more Christian-esque in his rebuke of Jay Lethal, but then have Christian be over the top mean to Nick Wayne about it. I thought that by doing that, I was going to please you, Father, but instead, now I've drawn your ire. I think that there's some stuff you could do with that where it's more subtle than just him being like, well, gosh, gee whiz, Mr. Lethal, I'd love to, but like it just felt a little too much baby facing of Nick Wayne in the moment to me. But I like the match, and Nick Wayne is incredibly gifted for being so young. The all that kinesio tape worries me for a dude who's about to like go over to battle the Super Juniors. But I hope he is healthy and will remain so throughout his time in Japan.
I'm very interested in how they get to Cope and Christian, because it's, listen, man, it's happening. There's no way you can tell me it's not happening. They've got a lot of tickets to move for AEW All In.
We have 2.5 months to get to All In. So they could easily not even touch any of this until midway through June. You know what I mean?
And like, right now, the card I'm looking at and assuming is FTR versus Cope and Christian. Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure Mercedes versus Tony.
Right.
Osprey versus Moxley makes an awful lot of sense. Either Hangman versus Swerve or Hangman and Swerve against whether it be Hurt Syndicate or, you know, Young Bucks.
I think it's the Young Bucks. I think it's going to figure out Swerve and Hangman versus the Young Bucks is a thing I think they might build to.
Okada Omega.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's, buddy, it's a top heavy five right there.
Oh my God. You got to figure out a way to get another women's match on there. I don't know what you do, but have to have a second one.
Athena. I would do Athena versus Thunder Rosa in Texas for the ROH
title. Absolutely. I'm down for it.
Thunder Rosa is a draw in the area. I mean, and Athena is from the area for the ROH 100%. Title. I would absolutely do that.
Texas versus Texas, 100%. Do it in a Texas death match.
There you go.
Athena versus Thunder Rosa in a Texas death match for the ROH women's title. Sign me up for that.
You got to put some, I mean, listen, if you're going to have the 13-14 match thing, you're going to need to put 2 or 3 lucha matches on that show to put some asses in seats. That is just what's going to happen. MJF isn't on the card as of yet.
Not yet.
Like, Hurt Syndicate, we don't really know what's going to go on there.
Yeah,
who else?
Hurt Syndicate versus MJF and his choosings, I think, is a thing you could absolutely do if they decide to go against each other. But here's one you could absolutely do to finally pay off the win streak of Hologram. Bandito versus Hologram for the ROH title, because Hologram is still undefeated. You got to give him a title shot at some point.
I think that's a very good idea. And I know a lot of people are saying Athena versus Mercedes. I mean, if that's, I don't see that happening. I personally don't. They just did that one, but I've got one out of left field as MJF's partner, Wardlow.
Right. Yeah, I could see it. They'd have to do some work, but
sure.
I could see it.
The Ops and the rest of the Death Riders as well as I'm looking at the Undisputed. There's that as well. Of course, there's Daniel Garcia. I think you got to put like a car crash match on there too, like a ladder match or something.
Yeah,
like
something
that.
Like that, and maybe do you got to do one of the casino gauntlets, right?
Yeah,
got to get one of those on there. That way, you can get all these people on there who you wouldn't normally be able to find a way to get on there. That's how you do it. You put them in the casino gauntlet match.
Yeah, I think it could be a very, very. I think once they finally announce matches, which again, months away. Hear me out. Yakuza Shida with Miyu, Tekla, Hired Guns, Ford, and Bane versus Ty J, Rosa, Stat, and Willow. I don't know if Penelope screams Hired Gun. You know what I mean?
I think she's a package deal with Megan Bane.
Sure.
And one thing you could do to really make her invaluable to that team, she's the crazy one. She's the one who will cut a bitch. Like one of those type of people, you could absolutely turn her into the one who's insane and you want her on your team because she will do something crazy.
And, you know, they've done this for WrestleMania. They could have Harley Cameron as like a host of All In.
She would be something amazing.
Where she's trying to do that. I am excited to see what movie Toni Storm bases her thing off of. Do you think they bring back the Casino Gauntlet match? I think if Ospreay wins the title and Ricochet wins the gauntlet, there's an easy story. I mean, I love that match in general. If they do like what they say is the biggest casino gauntlet ever, and they say, well, here's the thing, an added element for this one, you can't win until so many people get in.
So many have gone in. Yeah. We're going to continue it. For as long as there are dudes backstage, but until there are 20 dudes who have been in the ring, you can't win.
Now, see, I think there are so many fun elements they could do with that, but also you do run the risk of going into King of the Mountain territory where it's too...
Yeah, I know.
Because I don't want penalty boxes and stuff,
no,
but...
No.
Like, if it has to go at least, like, say, 10, 15 minutes, if you get pinned before that, you're gone. You're out.
Yeah.
You're no longer in the run.
You're eliminated. You're eliminated, but the match continues without you. I like that idea, too.
Or if you're thrown over the top rope, but then... That eliminates some fun because of the, you know, people are going to dive over the top.
People are going to do fun spots. Yeah, you don't want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Or they could bring back the common sense thing of where you got to be eliminated by somebody. But women's casino gauntlet won by Athena. I wouldn't hate a women's casino gauntlet either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And James Zimmerman says.
Yeah, go ahead.
He says, listening to the all-in booking where AEW has fired our imaginations. It's been a while since we've been like, let's fantasy book this entire card.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And James, I love it. This is like your third super chat about this. I can tell you are pumped up about this right now.
Yeah.
And I love that, man. Fletcher versus Takeshita, or Fletcher and Takeshita competing against somebody. Sure. Wouldn't hate that either. Man, that, which we're about to talk about that.
Yeah.
Don't worry, guys. Did Athena violate her parole and go back in ROH jail? Listen, she has done nothing wrong. She is wonderful. Two-time Fightful in-ring performer of the year.
She's
brilliant. What melted my little heart? I heard that she was bummed out that she couldn't send a speech. I think she was overseas. And she did one on her own on Twitter, which means an awful lot to me. Because we do those because we want the audience to give a hoot about it.
Yeah.
But here we go. JP says, that main event, the match defines AEW. Thanks, guys. And then Parker Hines says, I really thought Kyle was going to win with that penis kick brainbuster combo. Parker Hines, Alex Palowski, I got sold a ticket on this one a few times.
Yeah.
And I was almost certain Hangman was going to win. But that's what they have done so well. They have made me think, oh, are they going to do this? Are they going to, is this going to be how they push Kyle Fletcher into the stratosphere where, of course, he belongs? Woo! Mm-hmm. Brainbuster on the apron, or the spike on the apron, the tombstone on the floor. This was that shit I like, Alex.
This was outstanding. We came back from a commercial. I think I had to go like start the dishwasher or something. And so during the commercial, we come back and Kyle's bleeding. Like somebody shivved him in the kidneys. And I was like, I don't have time to like go back and see what the spot was. But like this thing, when you get busted open the hard way on your lower back, you know, this is some hard hitting shit. Like this was excellent. I love Hangman is such an amazing storyteller. You know, just like there's this just the moments of him like on his knees. Just like and Kyle just with the flat of his boot just doing this.
Yeah.
And Hangman just doing like he's just staring with rage. He's so great. This was excellent. Kyle Fletcher
unbelievable.
Everything he's cracked up to be. That guy is absolutely a future undisputed best in the world wrestler.
He's so good.
And it's so much sooner than we thought it was going to be. Like a year and a half ago, we'd be like, that guy, by the time he's 30, is going to be the best in the world. No. He's like, that's 27. By the time he's 27, he's going to be the best in the world.
And I mean, this is a thing that I have often criticized AEW about and said they got to shit or get off the pot with some of these guys and let the next up be the up now. And listen, do I think that things like this Moxley reign prevent a lot of that? Yeah, it does. And that's why one of the reasons I want to move forward on it. Tom LaValle says Fletcher beats Ospreay at Revolution 2026. Let's go. They are going to be tied together for a very long time, much like the overseas version of Swerve and Hangman for AEW. And listen, a lot of it's going to be based on the in-ring as opposed to the emotion.
Right.
But we haven't seen an incredible amount of follow-up from the Swerve Hangman stuff either in recent weeks, which is interesting.
We got it. We'll get there.
Yeah, but Fletcher, whew, boy. And again, Fletcher and Takeshita versus Hurt Syndicate at All In. I like that idea as well. Yeah. Yeah. And MJF could do something else. Because listen, MJF in a match on his own is also good. I do think at that point you have paired off a lot of the top men's talent. And I do like the idea that, that was brought up earlier about a women's casino match. Mm-hmm. Because, my God, like, just based on the people that we had not mentioned. I mean, Jamie Hayter is a notable omission. You're going to have Megan Bain, who doesn't have anything. Julia Hart, who might not have anything. Harley Cameron. You could have Britt Baker pop up there as well. Deonna Purrazzo, who's got a name about her. Billy Starks, who has been on TV. You've got a lot of people that can pop up and do that, like, as well.
Staten Willow. You got to get Staten Willow on the card somewhere. Putting him in the casino gauntlet match in a prominent place is a good way to do it.
Absolutely.
As well.
Jambeard says Fletcher and that Miles Bourne kid should enter a Randy Orton lookalike contest and tie for the win. Miles Bourne saying in that video with Matty Rinkowski, Ren Sinclair, he goes,
"Yeah,
I don't hear voices outside my head, but I hear plenty of them inside my head." This guy. N. Simmons says, I meant the casino match with the contract to cash in. Sorry for the confusion. Easy layup for Ospreay and Ricochet.
Yeah.
I don't know if they necessarily liked having the cash in anytime thing.
Right.
The feeling that I got was that they felt it was like an albatross for them.
Yeah. You need to have a specific thing in mind. Not like this guy's going to have it or what, but like if you say, okay, Ricochet gets it, and you know what Ospreay's first title defense is going to be at the early fall pay-per-view, and you have Ricochet try to pull a Hostage of the Century because you've decided this is how we are going to use it. Or you just have Ricochet win the Casino Gauntlet to get the first title shot at Ospreay in the early fall. You could do that.
I would just love some consistency in wrestling with how title shots are accrued, because I know people, dummies, idiots, say wins and losses don't matter. Then why are we doing any of this? Why are they wrestling? Why are they competing for championships? That's because you want to win the championship. Right. How do you get there? By winning something to get there, whether it be a qualifier or anything like that.
Yeah.
Hologram and Commander winning the tag belts at All In. I don't see them going over the Hurt Syndicate.
Unless it's a multi-team match and the Hurt Syndicate never take a
pin. Yeah.
If it's a ladder match, if it's a tag team ladder match, you could absolutely see Commander and Hologram win that, and the Hurt Syndicate don't take a pin or
listen,
you know, a loss in that way.
I would be all in favor of them doing a ladder match and them being like, Shelton, like, you're going to see a different kind of, I can't believe Shelton did that shit, because he's going to lift ladders with human beings on it and throw them into the third row.
Yeah,
which I think would be kind of cool.
But
by the way, guys, Shelton did a video with Maven. I don't know if you watched it, Alex. It was phenomenal.
I haven't seen this.
He just went through a lot of his like greatest moments and all that stuff.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Cool. I'll check
Vince offered to have his actual mom play the mama, and Shelton's like, Shelton's like, I do not want my mom on the road with me. Are you kidding me? Like, no. Absolutely not. And did say that he hated the Brock spot, but that Vince was so entertained by it. After he signed a new deal, Vince was like, six-figure raise. And I'm like, yeah, that man is old as hell. He is senile. Jambeard says, if Ospreay beats Hangman, one match Hangman could have at All In could be a Texas Death Match versus MJF. I think Hangman is tied to Swerve in some capacity.
You'd have to figure out what major thing Swerve is doing outside of Hangman, because to me, I feel like you've got to figure out a way to get them on the card, and the easy way to do it is to put them in the same match, and the surprise way to do it would be to force them to team together in some way. Young Bucks have already screwed over both Hangman and Swerve at some points in the past. It's a really easy way to do it, and a marquee matchup.
Jason Knight, I will go back and find your super chat, but Alex, as I look for this, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me over at Alex Sour Grabs and all the media's social. And on Fightful Select, we review, well, I'll be reviewing SmackDown this Friday. I review the first 2 hours of SmackDown while watching the third hour of SmackDown. Sometimes that's very interesting, depending on what the what the final hour of SmackDown holds. This coming Monday, there will be no Raw review. I am otherwise engaged, but we'll make it up to you in some way. And then on Tuesday, reviewing NXT. They've got a lot of stuff cooking for Battleground that should be really interesting coming up. Some really good work being turned in by the women there in particular. So yeah, check us out on the main channel. Me and Kate reviewing NXT every Tuesday.
Jason Knight, I am not seeing your super chat. You can type what it is, but I am not seeing it back to the very, very beginning of the show. But man, guys, I want to thank you all so much. We've had so much stuff over the last couple weeks, from WrestleMania reviews and all that stuff, and just a ton of content. But I want to tell you guys about some of the content this week. We had a new video on WCW Backstage Assault, the wrestling game with no ring. We had an interview with Steve Macklin. We had one with Luke Hawks of Heels and much, much like that. I interviewed 10 people for Squared Circle Expo. That will be rolling out soon. Jimmy Van and I have a video looking at LJN variants coming out soon. All those videos, you get them early access, usually if you're a member of YouTube, or you can subscribe to Fightful Select Tier 2 and not just get our scoops, but get early access to those videos. Also want to encourage you all, follow us on TikTok. It's at TikTok.com/@Fightful.com or just Fightful.com in there. We've also got Instagram, Facebook. We're adding a ton of content over there. But most importantly, FightfulSelect.com. How about this? I got quite a bit of contract news coming this week. As always, come on. Listen, contracts are my thing. Your boy's going to keep you updated there. I want to thank you all for bearing with me while getting over this little illness I got. Hopefully when I'm back in the fold on Sunday, Monday, everything is all right. But I appreciate you all a lot. Until next time, my friends, we're out.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.